My dad preached the Word of God and encouraged his viewers and listeners to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with Him. In today's message, tithing, whose idea was it? Dad expresses the importance of the subject of money and tithing. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I've said, I guess I tell it every time, I am so happy when the weekend comes because I'm going to get to see you. You're going to see me. Oh, of course, those of you on shortwave radio won't, and you're not missing out on a lot, I can tell you that. But someday, if you come to Jesus, you ask Jesus into your heart, I'm going to see you in heaven. But if you don't ask Jesus into your heart, I'm not going to see you in heaven because I'm not going that other way where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You have to have Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. But before I get into this sermon today, I want to read some of the letters. And here's a letter from Shell Knob, Missouri. And this person writes, says, a few weeks back you said in your sermon we need to fear God. I don't understand why we need to fear a loving God. Please explain. And thank you for all you do for all of us out here. And they're in Missouri. And we hear from a lot of people from Missouri. That's wonderful. And I can explain it the best way, how we love God but fear God. I loved my mother probably more than anybody in the world, my mother, but I feared her stick. And that's just the way it is with God. We don't want to, we should have a fear of God. He says, the reason that there's so much sin in the world, and Paul tells us in Romans, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't fear God. They'll spit in his face. And they'll take his name in vain, and they'll curse and swear and all these things. It doesn't bother them a bit. And they don't fear God, and they ought to fear God because he's a loving God. He gave his son. But he's got to have that, take care of that sin. And only Jesus can do that. Here's a letter from Iloilo of Philippines. I enjoy reading the letters. I also ask Christ to come into my life and save me, forgive my sins, but nothing. In John, it is easy to get forgiveness, but in Romans and other books, very hard to get forgiveness. I keep getting my sins in my mind all the time. Been praying for years. I need your help. John makes it too easy to be saved. So he's saying several things here. He's saying, first of all, John makes it too easy to be saved. No, he doesn't. You see, that's what people are doing. They're trying to make it hard to be saved. And Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will nowise cast out. And when they ask the Philippian jailer asked Paul how to be saved. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I was 10 years old. I asked Jesus into my heart. I'm 97 now. That's 87 years. I remember as plain as yesterday. But he's talking here, and he's also saying that he doesn't feel like he have any feelings, that he's forgiven. You may not have any feelings of forgiveness. Feelings and emotions don't have a thing to do with your salvation. It's believing God. Abraham believed God, and it counted to him for righteousness. And so you may have some feelings. You may get goose pimples. I don't know. Everybody's different. But when I accepted Jesus, I just accepted Jesus, and that was it. The next day, I felt like a lot of sin to weigh off of my shoulders. So you just come to Jesus, ask him to forgive you, and whether you feel it or not, those sins are gone, gone forever. Here's one that said, recently I ordered 3 copies of Heart of a Shepherd. I only sent you a small gift. My wife of 69 years said I was cheap. She's usually right. Don't tell her. See, that's a man. Don't tell her. If she's right, don't give her the satisfaction to tell her. I appreciate your zeal for Christ. What a blessing you are to me and my wife. Anyway, after hearing you say you send out the videos postage paid and free to those incarcerated and those are too old, I even felt a little cheap in his service. Well, first of all, congratulations on 69 years. That I think that's just wonderful. And the second thing is, I'm not going to get into whether you're cheap or not. I'm not going to get into a family argument about that. I've learned that. I'm in the 75th year of preaching. I've learned the first things, that is, don't get in the middle between a husband and a wife. See, but I don't think it's anything serious. But whatever you send is just fine. And if you and God, he's all over the world, he has people helping us. We always have enough. We're in our 40th year, 40 years, and never went once we couldn't pay our way. One more I want to read, and that's Portland, Oregon. Thank you. As much as I thank the Lord for the heavens and skies, I thank him for all the Christian Worship Hour in your ministry. You have set my life back on track, and I cannot thank you enough. God bless you all for his love. Try and stay out of the heat in our Savior's love. You have set my life back on track. And I think so many times as we have these services, how many Christians have drifted away. You got offended, or you got busy, or you just didn't, I don't know what happened, and you need to come back. And when the prodigal came back, prodigal son, God the Father had his arms wide open for him and took him in. God wants you to come back, and he'll forgive you. You just ask him to forgive you for your sins and drifting and get back with him and get on track, and God will bless you, and life will be worth living again. But we're going to talk about something today that you write in. So many people write in about it. I thought I'd preach a sermon on it. It's never too popular, but it's about tithing. And they say, how much is the tithe? And when did the tithe begin? And whose idea was the tithe? And if I don't tithe, will I still go to heaven? I'm going to answer that right now. Yes, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go to heaven. God will keep his word. And whether you tithe or not, whether you're in a baptism and communion, they all have their place. As a pastor, I did it for years and years and years. But there's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. When you accept Jesus, you have eternal life. But let's look at this tithe. And sometimes people call it tide, T-I-D-E. But they're talking about T-I-T-H-E. So here in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, we have the tithe is spelled out in Old Testament here. And all the tithe of the land, this is God's commands given to the people. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even of or whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tithe shall be holy unto the Lord. Leviticus 27, verse 30 and 31. So there's the beginning of the tithe. And then Jesus verifies the tithe in the New Testament, of course, Leviticus, Old Testament. And that is before they had the law, by the way. The law was given to Sinai later. And so here, Jesus verifies the tithe in the New Testament. And in Matthew 23, verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you pay tithe of mint, anise, cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought to ye have done, and not leave the other done. So it is right for you to tithe, but I want you to have judgment and mercy and faith and help along. So let's just look at this matter of the tithe. First thing I want to say about the tithe, where does it come from? It comes from the heart of God. It comes from God. It's not a man-made thing. It's not something that the preachers got together and they figured out, and we'll fix them. We'll get their money. We're not worried about that at all. God's Holy Spirit will take care of that. So the tithe comes from God's heart. The tithe was instituted by God in the Old Testament, and I might add, it was long before the law was given. The tithe was instituted. For 15 centuries, 1,500 years, from Moses to Jesus, the law of the tithe was in place. And over those centuries, when the people obeyed, they were blessed. And when they disobeyed, God dealt with them. And he dealt with them on how they tithed and how they gave. As you study the history of Israel, God's people, when the nation was sick before God and the neglect of the tithe was involved, God always expected his people to tithe, and God always had to deal with them. And as I say, it began before the law was given. For instance, in Genesis 14, and we read about Abraham, and Abraham rescued Lot from some pagan kings, and he had a great victory. And after the victory, he met Melchizedek, king of Salem. And Melchizedek was a king, and he was a priest. He was both in one. Jesus is the same thing. He's Savior, King, and Priest. Jesus is. This Melchizedek, we don't know anything about him, except that he was a priest of God. And what to do? Abraham gave him 10%, gave him the tithe. In the book of Hebrews, we're told that Melchizedek was a type of Christ. So here in an early picture of tithing, God's man paying tithe, tribute to the Lord by giving him 10%. Sometimes after preaching on tithing, someone will say, well, that's under the law. We're not under the law. That doesn't apply now. Ha, ha, ha. But before this took place, before the law was ever given. So the law doesn't have a thing to do about it. And now we're not under the law, we're under grace. So it's just still the teaching. But God still teaches it, and Jesus taught it in the New Testament while we're under grace. So Abraham gave 10% to God, gave a tithe. In Genesis 28, we read about Jacob. Jacob promised to give 10% of everything to the Lord. And Jacob, he was a schemer, and a first-class schemer. You think you got him now. He was as good as any of them. And this Jacob, here he's in trouble. And he thinks it's something, he's going to have problems, real trouble. His brother's going to do something to him. And so he says, oh, God, if you just save me and you help me, I'll give you 10% of everything I have. He's driving a bargain with the Lord, see. So there can be no question. The tithe is there. No question. As the origination of the tithe, it came straight from God himself. So tithing is important to God. And why? Over and over, God tells us he wants us to be first in our life. And when we tithe, we're saying, dear God, I'm putting you first before my bills, before anything, before I buy that new car, before I get that fancy home, before I do anything. I'm going to honor you. I'm putting you first. He wants the best from us. He wants the first from us. I had a man in my church one time. His name was George. He always says, well, Pastor, I gave the Lord the last dollar I had. Well, I said, stop. Give him the first dollar you get. And then you can go from there. When you tithe, that's what you do. I remember my mother taught us tithing. We came through the 30s, the 1930s. We had only one cash income. One cash income. And that was the cream we could save up during the week. And on Saturday, we took it to the creamery. And he would check it out while we sat in the car. And then he would come out and he would give us a check. And it would come to just what that 5 gallons of cream would give us. And my mother, the first thing she would do, she would take out 10%. And then we went to the Red Owl, to the store. And whatever was left over, we got groceries. And then we went home and we was there for another week. But my mother said, God is going to be first. If I don't have anything to eat, mother's going to be mom. My God is going to be first. And her children all follow that train of giving a tithe to the Lord. I've given it all my life. There's a joy in it. And so he wants the best from us. He doesn't want the leftovers. He doesn't want the loose change. He doesn't want the top part of our income. He wants the top part of our income. The first we give to the Lord. And in Malachi's day, there's a good example of what is happening today. In Malachi's day, God was angry with the children of Israel over their giving. Malachi asked the people of his day, will a man rob God? And the people says, oh, no, 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 no. Well, Malachi says that he was a prophet. He says, well, God says, yes, you're robbing him. And that you have not given him the best of the first. You've not given him the first. You've not given him the best. The Jews of Malachi's day knew they had to give a tithe to the Lord. And so they gave their tithe as a sacrifice. They gave the sick and they gave the maimed and they gave the weak and they gave the blind and anything they couldn't use or get rid of, they gave. That's what they gave. So God charges the people. And this is what he says. When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Malachi 1, verse 8. And so this dear God, he's telling him, he's talking to them. The Jews were supposed to bring the healthy. They would bring the best. Why? Why should that be? Because they don't hold, it shows how much you hold God in esteem. It shows how much you love God by how much you give. You see, they were spiritually sick people because they were substituting that. And they had spent all their income on fancy homes and snowmobiles and motorcycles. Well, I don't know if they had them then. Probably a chariot. They got a fancy chariot. I don't know what it is. But they spent it all and they didn't have anything for God. Now listen, this is what God is teaching. Our giving pattern shows immeasurably how important God is to us. If I want to know how much God means to you, I see, I can check the stubs of your checkbook. I can check you with your credit cards and look at them. I can see how you spell out your priorities. And I can tell exactly how much you think of God because where does your money go? That's what God is saying. You're not giving me anything, or you're giving me the piddly stuff or the stuff I don't want and I don't need, and it's a disgrace. You're giving them because you're not honoring me. You don't love me. You don't trust me. So tithing, God says, I want you to trust me. Tithing demands our faith. We got to believe that God is going to supply, because I know in some quarters you are tight spirit financially, but I'm going to tell you, you weren't as tight as we were and as close as we were during the Depression years, because I'm going to tell you we didn't have a penny, not a penny, except that cream check money that we got. That's all we had. So I know what it's like. I've been through it. But my mother taught me, if you get 10 cents, you give a penny to the Lord, and you be faithful in your giving. And so God speaks to these people, and he tells them, yeah, will a man rob God? Yet ye rob me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed you thee? In tithes and offerings, God says. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It is, God is saying, you bring your tithe, and you bring it to the church, or you bring it to where you're being fed spiritually. You bring it where God is working, and when you know that it's used of the Lord, and you give that to God. And so God says, I just did it. Just take it. Take God's word. I could never understand how that some people, you can, your neighbor tells you something and you believe it. But if God tells you something, you kind of doubt it. God says, prove me now, put me to the test. And when you begin to tithe, you're saying, I'm trusting God. I'm doing it as an act of faith. I'm doing it pure and simple. I'm doing it because I love the Lord and I'm giving him all that I have. Not too many people want, they want to have a balance first, or they want to give in the out of their excess. But what did the widow's mite? She gave so that she didn't even eat that day. And I'm not pushing that, but she gave out to the Lord. And I remember reading the story of a missionary, and the missionary was teaching all of the people that you should trust the Lord and you should give 10%. And you should trust God to help you to do that and to allow, arrange for it and get them not enough money. And one little boy came in one day to the missionary and gave him a fish. And he says, well, God wanted me to give a tenth, and so I give you this fish. And the missionary says, well, where are the other fish? Where are the nine? And he says, oh, yet they're in the river. I got to catch them. See, this little guy, he was really going at it. See, but there's something beautiful there. I love you, Lord, and I want to show that love. And I'm going to tell you, God will bless you for it. It may not be easy. I know what it's like when we used to pay $10 a month to about a half a dozen different people. In those days, they didn't have carrying charges. And if you are making an effort to pay that bill, they never would get on you. And I used to make out that list every week. And here's $10, $10, $10. But I always had that place for Jesus. I'm so glad I did. And there's a joy in it. I'm telling you, there's a joy in it. And you just try it and see. Jesus says, God says, try me now in this. He says, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. And he says, I'll help you and I'll make it possible. And I'll give you strength to carry on. And so you have to do it just by giving it to God, trusting in the Lord. By faith, I'm going to do this. Try me. It's God's invitation to you to trust him to do it now. Not when financial things get better and not when you feel that you're able to do it, but not tomorrow, but today. Just start and start serving the Lord. Oh, it'll call for discipline. There'll be days when you don't feel like it, and there'll be times when you just don't know how you're going to make it, but you just do it. God will bless you. I remember reading about a young man, and he accepted the Lord, and he asked the Lord what God wanted him to do, and the pastor said, he wants you to live for him. He wants you to read your Bible and to pray. He wants you to give 10%, and he gave 10%, and God prospered his business. And one day he came to the pastor. He said, Pastor, I am telling you, I'm so sorry. I can't tithe anymore because God has blessed me so much that tithe check is a fortune. And I figure 10% of everything given is too much money. And the old pastor says, well, let's pray about it. Let me pray for you. Oh, yes, pray for me, he said. And the old pastor started praying. He said, Dear Jesus, John's got a problem here. He's got so much money. It's got the tithe is so big. So, dear Jesus, help him to lose his job and go back to where he was. And hold it, Pastor, I get the message. And it will be, I see, well, R.G. Letourneau, we should give not 10%, we should give proportionately. And as we get more and we have more than we need, or more than we should get more than a tithe. R.G. Letourneau, and he made earth-moving machines, and the United States government bought a lot of them during World War II to build dams and roads and highways during the war, and he got a fortune, and he gave 90% to God, and 10% he lived on. And I tell that story, and then people say, well, if I was making money like that, I'd give 90% too. So I says, well, do you give 10% now? No, I don't. Well, then you wouldn't give 90% later on. You just start out with that 10%. This is what God says. Write this verse down. 2 Corinthians, this is New Testament. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he that hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. That's a promise of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's under law. That's under grace. That's for today. And so that's the tithe. And some people say, doesn't bother you to preach about it? Doesn't bother me a bit. Because this, I never apologize for preaching about money and giving to the Lord. I never apologize for that. What did God give? He gave his son. Everything he had, his only blessed son. And Jesus, what did he do? He came and lived among men homeless. He said he doesn't have a place to lay his head. And yet he came and he died on that cross, was raised from the grave. Oh, I never hesitate to say, you need to be square with God. And I'm doing you a favor, because if you do it, there'll be joy in it. So the first step is to give yourself. And how do you give yourself? You say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and please come into my heart. I stand at the door and knock. Jesus says, that's the door of your heart. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And just so, Jesus, please, I'm sorry for my sins. Please take them away, and I'll forsake my sins, and I'll live for you. And thank you, Jesus. And if you do that, then you write to us. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And I'm going to tell you, you can work a miracle on that Christian on that internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place that says donate, and any place in the world, you can send money to help us with this work. We got money from Norway, somebody. They put their money on their bank somehow, and when we get in the United States, American currency, we can go to the bill, pay our bills. So we have to have your help if we want to carry this on. If you think this is a worthwhile ministry, then we need to have you help us. And so you need to pray for us, and you need to help us support financially. And if you just trust God, maybe it's just a little bit you can send, but just help us along. And then if you want to get our little booklet, it's a little Bible study, and it's called The New Song. And this month it is a man that was almost a Christian, but he wasn't quite a Christian, didn't quite in. That's what God says. God says, I don't know your soul. God does. And so he says, you can get a Christian Worship Hour, and then you can get The New Song. You can get the picture. You can get this film about the heart of the shepherd. We need to hear from you, and we'll hope you'll write. Now we're going to pray, and in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Indonesia. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the wonderful privilege of serving you. And I pray that all there'll be multitudes that will accept you as Lord, and that others will just join in and find the joy of giving. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Indonesia. We know that they are suffering, suffering unto death. We know that some are homeless. Some know they don't even know where their children are, and the children don't know where the parents are. And oh, dear Jesus, bless them and help them to know we're praying for them, and that because of their sacrifice, we sacrifice. They're part of our family, part of our heritage. Bless them, dear Jesus, in the Savior's name. Amen. So now we're just going to wait until next week. And you pray for us. We'll pray for you. Don't forget to write to us now. We've given our address. And all of you shortwave people, oh, we'd like to hear from you. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002 Aberdeen, South Dakota. And by the way, we're a member of the organization, the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check every penny we get and every penny we spend, and we're on the level. You don't need to worry about your finances. So until next week, God bless you. And we want you to know that God loves you. That's why we're carrying on this work. God loves you. He gave his son. And I want you to know that Christian Worship Hour loves you. We have volunteer people that come for now over in their 40th year, still standing by. We love you. And I want you to know that I love you. And I want to see you in heaven so bad. So come to Jesus. Don't put it off. Do it now. And I'll see you in heaven. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.